This season of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by BEI Real Estate. For over 65 years, BEI has been part of this community, helping local businesses find their place to thrive. They understand what makes Batavia special, offer flexible solutions, and actively give back. Visit their website, BEICRE.com, and find out how BEI can help you reach your real estate goals. Or call them directly at 630-879-3680. This episode of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by Bulldog Plumbing Incorporated. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit their website in the show notes or give them a call at 630-313-9109. Hey everybody, I'm Richard Clark, and this is Area Code Batavia, a podcast about what it means to belong in Batavia, Illinois. First, we're unveiling a new segment for you this week. When my family and I moved to Batavia 6 years ago, we needed some of the basic stuff: internet, a plumber, some work done on the house. Honestly, we didn't know where to start or who to trust. That's why at the beginning of each episode, starting this week, we offer a quick list of local businesses that make Area Code Batavia possible. These businesses are more than just sponsors. They're invested in our community and share our vision for a vibrant, connected Batavia. So, when you're looking for a specific service or product, you know you're choosing one that's trustworthy and engaged in the community. So, thanks to these businesses: BEI Real Estate, Bulldog Plumbing, 212 Degrees Construction Group, Dragonfly Senior Navigation Services, Plimsoll Studio, and Tyler Nelson Country Financial. You can find out more about these businesses in the show notes. And if you use one of these businesses, let them know you heard about them from us. The day this episode is released, June 14th, is Flag Day. And it's the first Flag Day to be observed at Batavia's brand new Flag Day Monument. Meanwhile, across the lawn of the Peg Bond Center, a few other flags are flying. Some, like the Illinois state flag, have been there a while. Then there's the Batavia flag, which is relatively new, and the Pride flag, which flies over City Hall during the month of June. It got me thinking, what is it about flags that instill such reverence in those whose community they represent? And what role do flags play in this community? Over the course of two episodes this month, I'll ask these questions of a variety of people and share their point of view. This week, we'll focus on the American flag, the designation of Flag Day, and Batavia's monument to Flag Day. Honestly, the idea of the Flag Day monument intrigued me. On the one hand, it's kind of a peculiar idea. After all, a holiday itself is kind of a monument, so why create a monument to a monument? Honestly, I don't think I've ever heard of a monument to a holiday. But the more I talked to Marty Callahan, Linda Shelke, and Austin Dempsey, the more I understood why this vision was brought to life. And it all began with honoring a specific Batavian claim to fame.
In 2016, when the community was getting ready to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Batavia dentist, Dr. Bernard Sagrand, successfully petitioning President Woodrow Wilson to dedicate June 14th as Flag Day.
Batavia citizens wanted to honor someone from their past, but they weren't sure how to go about it. And what I love about this story is that the more they considered the local dentist's life and accomplishment, the more they got a vision of their own.
I mean, he truly was the reason that we started discussing this. Dr. Sagrand, we have always claimed as one of our very own and probably one of our most well-known national figures, and yet we had never really done anything in town to honor him. He still has ancestors here. Many grandchildren and great-grandchildren of Dr. Sagrand's are here in the area. So we'll hope on Flag Day, as we had on October 1st, we'll hope we'll have some of his descendants here that can help hoist the flag. We were all about honoring Batavia's story.
But first, I wanted to talk to Marty Callahan, a member of the Flag Day Monument Board and self-proclaimed flag expert. There's a cool name for that that will come up in just a minute. Specifically, I wanted to talk to him about why flags in general are so important and why they matter so much to Batavia.
So my name is Marty Callahan. I'm a former alderman with the city of Batavia. I was a police officer in New Mexico, but I just have a love of history. And it goes back to my dad. My dad was a history major. He loved history. He loved books. He loved reading. So it was always that quest for knowledge that's where I kind of picked up on that. And my quest for knowledge isn't math or science. Yeah. I'm about history because history, I like the personal part of it.
And it sounds like a lot about history and how it relates to us now.
Yes.
Tell me about this space and what it means to you.
So that's a whole long conversation. I've been associated with it with Austin Dempsey and Linda Shelke from the beginning.
Yeah.
We originally were on the fireworks committee together back in 2015. There was talk about how do we make the fireworks more connected to the community. And the mayor was talking about how we have this connection with Bernard Sagrand living here, the founder of Flag Day. And if you know the mayor, he loves his stories.
Oh, yeah.
That's where he's just a great wealth of knowledge that he was able to tie that. And when you have like the hook for what we were trying to do was have something for the 100th anniversary of Flag Day, which was in 2016.
Right.
And out of that, it was like, well, can we think a little bit bigger?
Mm.
And Austin sat with Steve Vasilian, who was the architect of this, who also designed the Peg Bond Center.
Okay.
He also drew up the plans for the boardwalk shops. So there is a consistent kind of feel and look throughout the downtown.
Yeah.
So with all of that, we got together and said, let's see if we can do this and try to raise money for the monument and create this vision of what we had wanted to. And with a lot of projects that seem to happen in this town with not a lot of controversy or a lot of problems, everybody got onto it right away.
Hmm. So you were pretty involved in this location, this place.
Right.
What does this place actually like mean to you?
It's about education and where we've been, which is different than other monuments. Other monuments you go to and it's about the past and it's about a learning tool about things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
This monument is designed to understand and put everything into context as to why it happened.
Yeah.
And be able to understand as you move forward.
Yeah, there's a progression.
There is a progression.
Yeah.
The monument starts with the smallest portion of the helix wall with the population of 2.5 million in 1776.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a artistic visual representation as a timeline of America. And the wall increases in height proportionally to the population growth. And then all of the bands that we have represent a year in time is one tile. Blue are the 27 official flags.
Uh-huh.
Red are for those times that we have been in conflict. And white are for those civic, cultural, or flag-related events.
Yeah.
So then you look at the wall, and you can now have, oh, wait, it's kind of like a puzzle, where you look at the plaques, the large plaques are for the flags. So you know that a flag with that many stars was official at that time.
Right.
Then you look at the other things that are around it. And some of the things do influence each other.
Uh-huh.
Like on this section, which is the kind of the fourth of the way in, there's a lot of flags.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of flags that were changing in a very short period of time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, that makes you go, well, why is that happening?
Right.
And it was happening because that's all westward expansion, et cetera.
Yeah.
We want people to come and enjoy it as a thing of beauty, as a design element, or you can come and look at it and do some learning.
What is so important to you about educating people about those things?
When you look at the flag is just a piece of cloth. But what is different about our flag? Why does our flag have that kind of zeal to it? And the way I explain it is if you just look at a flag, you know what it is. It's got a brand.
Yeah.
But it's made up of individual threads. And those threads are our stories.
Huh.
And so your stories are the same as my story, and they're all equal. And all of those stories are interwoven together so that the more that you learn about others and the more that you learn about history, the more you learn about yourself.
So you've talked a little bit about this, but I am curious, what is so important about flags? Because you're an expert of flags. That's how I was introduced to you. A
vexillologist.
A vexillologist. Right. There's a lot of L's in there.
Right.
A vexillologist. I'm going to get that. Hold on. A vexillologist.
You got it.
Did I nail it?
You got it.
Okay.
So a flag, by its very nature, they translate who you are as a visual representation. They're also utilitarian. They serve a military purpose, which is to make sure that if you're waving this flag, you know that they're either your enemy or not. And so we've kind of moved past that with all of the flags that you see now. So we have many layers of flags that you can wrap yourself in.
Yeah.
You have the American flag. You have the state flag. We have our Batavia community flag.
Yeah.
It tells people without knowing where you're from.
Uh-huh.
And it gives a sense of identity.
Yeah.
And with that, then there are all the other flags, the pride flag, the POW flag. It shows what you support. It gives an idea to somebody else who's making a snap judgment about you. And if you want to, you can say, this is what I'm about.
Yeah.
It's a way to let people know and fly your flag.
And it's really interesting because one of the reasons we wanted to do this sort of focus on flags for this month is like...
Fun with flags.
Fun with flags. Erica, fun with flags. Batavia does seem to love its flags.
Right.
There are all kinds of flags everywhere.
There are.
There are a lot of flags up on that flagpole right now.
Yes.
And we have a whole monument to a flag. I'm curious, like, when flags became less of a militaristic thing and more of like a positive identity thing.
And it's a great question. And there's a lot to understand about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's, as you look at history, it has also been the flag, the American flag or flags in general mm-hmm. have waned and waxed. They've kind of come in vogue and they've gone out of vogue. Because the times when the American flag was super important and super relevant
yeah.
for the very first time was during the Civil War.
Yeah.
Because people were trying to show what they stood for. And then it kind of went away for a while. Uh-huh. That's why when people talk about the American flag and early versions of it,
yeah.
like the Betsy Ross flag, there's none examples because the flag wasn't that important.
So interesting.
Because they, if you think about it, the flag wasn't really important because they were just trying to live.
Talk me out of a dark path I'm going down in my brain. That was a really divisive time
yes.
in American history.
Yes.
And that was what made the flag important, right? Like
it was, yeah. but in a way, if you understand the history about it, Abraham Lincoln made sure that none of the stars were removed from the American flag at uh-huh. that point
uh-huh.
because he was still saying and wanting to convey that we were still Americans.
Yeah.
So while, yes, the whole thing is very divisive,
yeah.
but what he did at that point was try to say we're still Americans.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people,
right.
North and South, the Northerners made flags that had less flags.
That had less stars.
That had less stars.
Yeah.
The Confederates obviously created a whole bunch of versions of flags for their states,
yeah.
new flags for their states. And what Abraham Lincoln said was, no, we're not going to remove the flags or the stars.
Yeah.
So that kind of set what I think is where the flag started becoming a little more positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really took off in 1876 with the Centennial of America.
Okay.
And now that's hugely important because it's the 100th anniversary of America. Everybody loves America again and so on and so forth.
It's going great. Yeah.
But that's where you also have to think, is it great and powerful or is it really great? Well, going back to your question, why was it important? Why was it important to them at that period of time? So bringing it to today, I think that why you're seeing this resurgence is because you're being pulled in so many different directions. You're being branded on social media. You're crafting an image. You're this, you're that. Flag just is a very simplistic, this is what I'm saying, this is what I mean.
Yes. Yeah.
It comes across and it's very direct.
What kind of impact have you seen this monument have on the community?
We are at one of those times in America where the American flag is very divisive. Yeah. You have people that are very rah-rah America.
Yeah.
And there are people that are very, I don't like what it stands for.
Yeah.
Those don't matter to the flag. The flag is an inanimate object.
Yeah.
What you're saying is you're not happy with the person that you're living in the same town, state, country with.
Uh-huh.
You're angry at that person. Uh-huh. What better way to say, well, here's my flag. It's in your face. You're doing that just because you're wanting to be aggressive. Flag's just kind of flying there. Like, doesn't matter what you project on it. So I think all of those things go back to the flag is a piece of cloth. It is our hopes and dreams and desires and wants and wishes that are projected onto that piece of cloth.
Yeah.
And that is just, it's just a representation of us.
I think one of the most moving, some of the most moving contexts in which I've seen the American flag is when it's associated or alongside other flags you wouldn't expect to be associated with it, which is kind of what you're saying. Like, there's this thing where you associate the American flag these days with like a group of people that almost have, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking out of turn here. There's a co-opting that has taken place in some senses by a group of people that like believe certain things and think America should be these things. And then when you see that almost subverted or something, I don't know, help me out here. Like, what am I?
I know what you're talking about. And yeah. I think that that would be true because that is a first impression.
Yeah.
But the flag belongs to all of us.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, going back to your question about what has been that part that has kind of resonated with the community.
Yeah.
Have you seen any or heard any protests about the flag? Nope. Even knowing the times that we're in, knowing how divisive it is, knowing the politics, knowing that people could be very angry with the flag or too, I love the flag and it's my flag, it's not yours. That could be going on, but we're not seeing that. I know people that are very far left and very far right,
right.
that have come here and have just appreciated it for what it is.
Yeah.
They haven't put their views or their opinions on it than what it is. Because now it's put into context of, it's not just me.
Yeah.
You're just a piece of it.
Yeah.
An important piece, but one piece.
Right.
And if you really understand what the concept of America is, it's that all of these pieces have to fit together.
Yeah.
For it to make sense.
This episode of Area Code Batavia is brought to you by Bulldog Plumbing Incorporated, proudly serving Batavia and surrounding towns. Bulldog Plumbing isn't just a local family business, they're neighbors. You might have already seen their trucks all over town. They're a mainstay in Batavia, not just when it comes to serving their customers, but also through supporting the community itself. I'm not exactly a plumbing expert, so I had no idea what backflow testing was or why I needed it. So I looked into it, and it turns out it's kind of like putting up a do not enter sign so that nothing goes the wrong way and contaminates your water. Sounds pretty important to me. You can call Bulldog Plumbing if you need backflow testing or anything else, like an energy-saving tankless water heater installed. If you have plumbing needs, visit bulldog-plumbing.com or call 630-313-9109.
I'm Linda Shelke, and I have been a member of the Fox Valley Patriotic Organization since its inception, which was 2015, actually. And I've been a secretary to the board all that time up until just a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I have been chairman of the Flag Day Committee here in Batavia since about that same time, since 2015, because in 2016, the town celebrated the 100th anniversary of President Woodrow Wilson signing a proclamation declaring a flag day every year in America.
Yeah. So I do want to talk later about why this monument was important to you, but I want to start with flags in general. Why are flags important to you?
I've just always, my whole life, highly respected the flag, but also I'm one of these people that tear up Every time, you know, a group says the pledge, every time we sing Star Spangled Banner or God Bless America or America, I just get teary. I don't know why. It's almost like in my DNA. I was an elementary teacher for many years and then a principal and then central office person. I worked at Illinois Math and Science Academy, which was kids from all over the state of Illinois. And the flag is just a uniter. It's one of those things you can talk about with everybody. And most people have very positive, you know, feelings and can trace back a lot of family memories of rallying around the flag on the 4th of July going to put flags on graves on Memorial Day or whatever. So,
you mentioned that it's something everyone rallies around. It's a uniting thing. And it feels like there is a sort of a thing where every now and then it falls out of fashion. And certainly right now, that's a bit of a thing where people, it's for a certain group of people, it's fallen out of fashion. For other group of people, it's very much in fashion. Even just here in Batavia, like, how do you think about sort of making it so that the flag does represent being united as opposed to being divided?
From very early on, and as a matter of fact, the first three people that met to discuss the need for the Flag Day Monument was Austin, Marty, and me.
Yeah.
We met at Panera, and we started to talk about this. And we, even then, which was 2015 or so, we said, this just cannot be political. We want to put our time and energy into building a symbol that everybody can enjoy and appreciate. And it's going to, as Austin always says, we're purple. We're not red or blue. We're purple.
Right.
So that was extremely important to us. Since we cut ribbon last October for the monument, we are interested as we go from event to event, year to year, to see what kinds of use of the monument there will be. We think a lot of scout groups, a lot of VFWs, legions, Sons of the American Revolution, Daughters of the American Revolution will come here. They'll have meetings here. They'll, you know, do field trips here. So again, we just hope that this is American. This isn't, I know when we have conversations in the news now about flags being flown upside down and being taken into the Capitol and storming that and everything. Right. I mean, it's just, it is not hard to understand that in a country that is as multicultural as this one is, that people have very different feelings about the flag.
Yeah.
People who come from other lands that come here and become U.S. citizens, the flag is so important to them.
Yeah.
And just watching the Normandy 80th anniversary yesterday on TV and looking at these veterans that are now late 90s, early 100s, and they having all these people in France hugging our American veterans, thanking them for saving their country and their people. It just makes you so appreciate all the people through the history of our country that have been willing to fight for it, to die for it, and then we have some that burn it. But that is what our country is all about, is really letting people have their viewpoints, share their opinions, First Amendment speech, you know, all this kind of stuff. What we wanted to build here was truly something that would instill almost like the Olympic spirit, you know, the kind of thing that, again, people just rally around. From what our board has been able to discern to date, when we watch people come through here, everybody seems to walk a little taller. You know, they just seem to be very fascinated by what all the different tiles mean and the obelisks and all the stories of the important timelines of the flag.
Yeah.
But as you can see with the Ring of Honor, which honors Illinois Congressional Medal of Honor recipients, and just the events in general that are captured by the flag, sadly, many of them are battles and wars and that kind of thing. So I said we couldn't build this without honoring veterans, active military, first responders, plus our Congressional Medal of Honor recipients and Dr. Sagrand and his family. So this really kind of connects it all together.
Yes. And one of the things I appreciate about it, even just looking at it now and having looked at it before, you mentioned the Olympics. The Olympics is an interesting comparison because I think you compare and contrast with the Olympics in the sense that the Olympics is definitely a uniting thing. It's also, to me, is sort of like, let's put our differences aside for a minute. Let's forget about that stuff we disagree on. Let's do our best to sort of just not talk about it for a week, which I think is an admirable thing. One of the things that's interesting about this, and I think it's represented even visually, because the red all represents wars and battles and essentially just like horrible things that have happened. Not necessarily bad stuff we've done, but some of it, maybe.
Yeah.
And so,
and we've learned a lot. Our country was young. And I said, we've made mistakes. This is certainly not telling a perfect story by any means.
Yeah, it tells the true story, which I think is the best thing about it is like, it, just personally, for me, even the red gets stronger and heavier as you go along. And that's there's a little bit of a darkness and sadness there,
yeah.
which I think is useful when it comes to getting everyone on the same page. That's one of the reasons. I mean, that's one of the things that I think can help give people permission to sort of move closer to something like the flag if they might have a discomfort around it.
Yes. And I think the flag and what it represents and the Olympics at the heart, what they represent is bringing out the best in people, you know, rallying. And even though Olympics is all about competition all over the world, I said it truly is about helping everybody to make their dreams come true and make their country's dreams come true.
Right.
Our flag represents across the world so much help and support and wonderful democratic type of government that is for the people, by the people, you know, of the people. And I think that just really lifts a lot of people.
For you, it sounds like it was largely about both sort of carrying out your ideals, but also helping other people accomplish something.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And my husband, Jeff Schalke, the mayor, I said, he has always put out the request at some point for the community to build some kind of thing dedicated to Dr. Sagrand.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just always an important. Every year on Flag Day, we give out the Dr. Sagrand Patriot Award.
Yeah.
And that has gone to all kinds of wonderful groups. The first year it went to Troop 6, which is a Boy Scout troop that every patriotic holiday in Batavia, they put the flags out in yards. People have subscriptions. And we thought that's wonderful. That's a lot of work. And they enjoy doing that. The Emmert family who restored Dr. Sagrand's home where he lived, and just all kinds of wonderful citizens that have, you know, the people that helped so much to make the monument possible.
Yeah. What has been the impact of having this monument in Batavia? What has been the impact on Batavia or people in Batavia that you've seen?
Being right next to City Hall, I hear from several staff members there, including Jeff, and other board members who, again, make a point of coming through here quite frequently, have lunch here, whatever.
Yep.
We've had scouts that are getting more excited. I tell you, one of my goals is to have a scout patch with a monument on it. And so students can not only learn about the monument, but then actually take part and get a chance to earn that patch by somehow connecting with this monument.
Right.
So when we cut ribbon, we had scouts standing between all the military posts. They helped with a lot of things, too. So overall, I hope that like our VFW, our Legion, all kinds of veterans groups in the area. I mean, this is national caliber, but it's also meant for the nation. It's not just meant for Batavia. Yep. And I think as we go through the summer and a whole lot of travelers come through here, we're certainly going to try to get this listed, the monument listed and a lot more, almost like national parks, to come here and get a chance to see it. So the impact it has had to date certainly has been probably more local for Batavia citizens.
Yes.
But our hope is that a whole lot more folks will be coming through here.
I think there's an impact of just having sort of a nationally focused monument in Batavia. There's an impact on Batavia in some way. There's something about giving something to the nation locally.
Yes.
You know? And I'm curious if that has been done before. You've been the wife of the mayor for a long time. You've been here for a long time. And I'm curious from your perspective, is there something like in Batavia where it's a national thing, it's giving to the nation in that way, or is this a first?
Fermilab.
That makes a lot of sense. Yes.
Fermilab was probably one of the very first things that really put this town on
the
map.
That's more of a world thing.
Yeah, that's a global thing.
Yeah.
So that is huge. Yeah, we have had so many. I mean, we've had Nobel Prize winners, Grammy winners, Academy Award winners. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had, you know, a nursery that used to create all the roses for the Rose Parade. I mean, there's tremendous amounts of national notoriety.
Yeah.
And so there has been a lot of things that have put us on the map.
Yeah.
I hope this monument will rise to that level. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of monuments, beautiful monuments all over the country that, and sometimes in the smallest of towns, that salute the flag and salute military.
Yeah.
But this is the only one that we think salutes actual the day of Flag Day to commemorate our flag.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For me, my involvement started in 2007 when Roger Breisch asked me to help out with the fireworks.
Okay.
A group got together and basically the fireworks committee said, hey, we should do something.
Got it.
And here I am thinking it's going to be a 1 year, 2 year project. And since then I've had another kid. it's been a little longer than that. But we were going to do a tribute to Dr. Bernard Sagrand. But the reality of it is when we read some of his works, and the man gave 2,188 speeches on patriotism and the flag.
Yeah.
He wrote hundreds of articles, petitioned 5 sitting U.S. presidents. Uh-huh. I mean, it was his life's passion, his life's work to really honor the flag and standardize the flag. Because there have been 28 different versions of the U.S. flag, official uh-huh. versions, but there's been hundreds of non-official versions of the flag. And to really standardize that was a big deal.
Yeah.
The committee of the fireworks basically got together and said, let's try to do something that honors what Dr. Sagrand stood for more than just the man himself. Mm-hmm. And so we worked with a local area architect, and years later, through a global pandemic and almost $2.5 million of money raised that went into this project between donations and volunteers on October 1st last year, which was Dr. Sagrand's birthday. Uh-huh. We opened the monument, which was pretty spectacular.
It's a really beautiful monument. And I just love monuments. You know, mm-hmm. there's something about being in a space that encourages you to dwell on things. Mm-hmm. So what has been some of the fruit that's come out of that you've seen?
You know, there's been a lot of positive, both from people in the community, but a lot of people from outside of the community that have come to that area. And we had Lee Greenwood and Coffee Anderson, country singer from Texas, come up and perform for us the night before the community dedication. And there was a gentleman who was there, and I can't remember where he was from, Round Lake Beach or somewhere up north.
Okay.
I remember he was standing out in the monument, and it was nighttime, and the monument looks so different at night than it does during the day.
I need to check it out.
It's really awesome at night. And he was crying. And I walked up to him and wasn't 100% sure what was going on, but introduced myself, and he said, oh my gosh, you're the guy that was just talking about this. Uh-huh. I said, yeah. Turns out he was crying because a couple months earlier, he had lost a friend of his who he was in the service with in the army in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And he told me that if his friend had seen the monument, his friend would probably still be here.
Wow.
Because his friend lost hope and he lost any sense of belonging. He basically got to the point that he didn't understand what he did and why he did it. And being at that monument gave this guy just such a sense of purpose for his sacrifice and commitment to our great nation. And that made all 8 years completely worth it. All the work and the sleepless nights and all the other stuff that went into that. I've grown up in a time generally of peace here in this country. But I know that there are a lot of Batavians and a lot of people in our community that have served our great nation in some sort of capacity. And the overwhelming support that we have had on that project from veterans and first responders has been just great.
Yeah.
And it's truly a community within the community. Uh-huh. They see Batavia is a city that opens their arms and welcomes them in, and they feel very comfortable here. Yeah. And I know all of us are very proud of the fact that monument is here in our community, and that there will be thousands of people over the next number of years who come here and hopefully find that sense of place here, have a moment of quiet to understand and reflect that every generation of Americans stands on the foundation that the previous one has built.
Yeah.
And while the problems of today and tomorrow may be vastly different than what previous generations have faced, that all of us have the same opportunity to unite under one flag and build a better nation for the future.
I think it's very important because it can be easy to forget that flag is for everybody.
Right.
It has become a symbol of some other things sometimes. And I think that's a real shame.
The if you think of the last 8 years that this project's been going on, there's been
a lot of change.
There's been a lot of change. Yeah. And there have been a multitude of different political groups that have tried to attach themselves to that. And we never let any of that come in. I mean, we announced politicians that were in the audience or whatever who came to events, but we never put a politician on stage. Hmm. Left, right, blue, red, any color in between.
Yeah.
We are one nation.
Yeah.
Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And that's our flag. Mm-hmm. This is about unifying the sides. Mm-hmm. And that's what we really hope that this monument will help shape that perspective on any of the people who come and visit it. And the last plaque is my favorite plaque. If you've been to the monument, you know that it starts at 1776 at our small but humble beginnings of a great nation. And then it goes up, it rises in a helix format mm-hmm. based on the population increase of the country. Mm-hmm. So most people, when they come and they look at the monument, the start of the monument, they're looking down at the small but promising mm-hmm. beginnings. And mm-hmm. by the time they get to the date we dedicated, the monument's like 8 feet tall, right? They're looking up, looking at that layer upon layer of every generation that has laid another foundation for us to build on. And the final plaque, you get to one huge chunk of wall and there's no tile, there's no plaque on it. There's only one plaque on it. I think we have 64 years of wall left that we can put stuff on there. And the plaque that's up in the middle of the wall says the future is yours. It's yours to determine the peace we embrace, the culture we believe in, and the America that we're going to build for the future.
Yeah.
A lot of people have asked, you know, what you have a favorite, but 390 plaques on the whole thing. I said, well, that one's my favorite, right? Yeah. Because it's the call to action.
It's pretty great, yeah.
And what we want is, you know, I want people to come there and build their community.
Yeah.
I want them to you know, you want to make this country better, you start at home.
Yeah.
Build there and continue to build out.
When I was working on this episode, I thought a lot about the people in the middle of the extremes Linda referenced, those willing to die for the flag and those who burn it in protest. For those of us in the middle, maybe there's a discomfort with the flag itself and the complicated history and the present condition of the country it represents. Maybe there's frustration with the ways the flag has been co-opted by some, or maybe we just see it as a symbol to unite behind, and that reminds us of how far our country has come. But in talking with Linda, Marty, and Austin, I was struck by how a local grassroots movement can make a national symbol more accessible. After all, the closer we are to each other, the more face-to-face conversations and interactions we can have, and the more we can be on the same page. Look, unity is a complicated thing. For some, it's a necessity. For others, a deeply felt virtue. But for others, it's a bit of a gauntlet. It can require trust and vulnerability from all sides. But if we can embrace the symbol on our own terms and pour our own hopes, frustrations, experiences, and passions into it, we might start to see it as our symbol too. And then, the more we share those things with others, the more we start to see the flag as something representative of who we are as a community. The flag is, as Marty points out, just a piece of cloth, but it's also a glimpse of something mundane and profound, something that to me seems a whole lot more achievable than unity, an invitation to belong. Thanks for listening to Area Code Batavia. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, you should absolutely subscribe to the newsletter. Not only will we let you know when a new episode is out, but you'll also receive a weekly list of 5 concrete ways to belong in Batavia. Just click the link in the show notes. Most importantly, if you know someone who would love to hear this podcast, please share it with them. Word of mouth is the best way to grow our community and help more people feel like they belong in Batavia, Illinois. Area Code Batavia is produced by Area Code Audio. It's hosted and produced by me, Richard Clark, with additional production help from Jennifer Clark, edited and mixed by Matt Linder.